Yesterday we made reference to the Maisa Chesed performed by Moshe Rabbeinu in burying Yosef in Eretz Yisrael, taking with him, schlepping with him the Atzmos Yosef. And the Medrash Rabban Vezos HaBracha says so beautifully, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you thought this was a Chesed Katan Shel Sisa Chayecha, I promise you this is not a Chesed Katan. This is a chesed gadol. This is far greater than you would ever have imagined, than you ever would have appreciated. And as a result of that ma'aseh chesed that Moshe Rabbeinu did for Yosef HaTzadik, Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you buried Yosef, I myself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, will bury you. Another beautiful example of this musr can be found in a story in this week's parsha. What happens? The opening of this week's parsha, Yisro, Chosein Moshe, hears about the Nisim v'Niflos that Kadosh Baruch Hu performed for Klal Yisrael, and Yisro comes out to the Midbar to greet Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Torah describes how he was so instrumental in assisting Moshe Rabbeinu in creating a manageable and efficient justice system. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing there from morning till evening. The entire nation is lined up to speak with him. And Yisro says to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is not going to last. You can't sit there all day long and they're coming at you from morning till night. And Yisro says to him, Novel Tibol, you're going to be worn down, worn out, tired out. And therefore, Yisro gives Moshe Rabbeinu the Eitzah, here's how you set it up, here's what you do. You appoint Anshe Chayil, Yirei Elokim, Anshe Emes, Soni Batsa, Sari Alafim, Sari Mel, Sari Chamishim, Sari Asaras. You appoint all of these lower judges, so to speak. And if they can't determine the proper course of justice, then they'll appeal it upwards, pass it upwards to the upper courts, to the upper courts, to the upper courts, and ultimately to Moshe Rabbeinu. If you need to paskin, you'll paskin, but at least have others share the burden with you. A seemingly simple, sound piece of sage counsel. Okay, very nice. So Yisro advises Moshe Rabbeinu, does the chesed, fantastic, wonderful. You would think that that is the end of the story. Until you get to Sefer Shoftim, Perek Aleph, where we find that even after Klal Yisrael conquered Eretz Yisrael, the Keni were allowed to remain behind. And Radak in Shoftim, Perek Aleph, tells us, why was this so? So Radak says, you know why? Because Keni are descendants of Yisrael. Yisro, says Radak, performed a chesed for Klal Yisrael. He came to greet them in the Midbar. Not only that, but Yichad Yisro, he was happy for them, he rejoiced with them, he rejoiced for them. And the Radak says that in addition to the chesed of joining them, of being happy for them, he offered Moshe this very, very sound advice. So, in exchange for that chesed, the Radak says, Yisro's descendants were allowed to remain in Eretz Canaan even after the Bnei Yisrael conquered the country and destroyed the inhabitants, wiped them out. Yisro's descendants were the exception. Not only that, says the Radak, that is why you look on in Sefer Shmuel. And, oh, it's coming up on Purim time. The Navi describes how Shaul was given instructions to destroy Amalek. To destroy Amalek. And what does Shaul do beforehand? Before the battle with Amalek, he warns the Keni, move out of the way. Leave the Amaleki. Move far away. that you should not be in any way harmed in the course of the battle that we are going to wage with the Amaleki. So Shaul gives the Keni a heads up, which he had no obligation whatsoever to do, it would seem. Why is Shaul being so kind? Why is Shaul being so nice? Says the Radak once again, the same idea. Yisro did a chesed for Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu appreciated it, gained from it. So now, Shaul HaMelech is repaying the chesed and warning the Bnei Keni to leave just in case they should get hurt in the battle between Amalek and Klal Yisrael. He gives them a head up. Make sure you don't get stuck in the middle of this. Here's a hot tip. Move out of the way before the battle begins. So says Radak. And it's fascinating to note that in the course of that battle, as we read in last week's Haftorah, not in the course of that battle, let me rephrase that. Look back in an earlier battle, Sefer Shoftim, when Sisra was attacking Klal Yisrael, Sar Tzvayavin, times of Devorah, times of Barak. Who was the heroine of that story? It was Ya'el Eshes Chever Hakeni. Ya'el, the wife of Akeni. There seems to be a back and forth chesed being performed between the Keni, Bnei Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, and the Hakar Satov that is reflected through that back and forth chesed being performed. And what's beautiful is that the Radak writes as follows. Could I look at this lush in the Radak in Sefer Shoftim, Perek Aleph? The Radak writes, he says, that one Maisa Chesed that Yisro performed for Moshe Rabbeinu for Klal Yisrael, HaChesed Ahu Shamar La'olam, it was preserved forever. That Maisa Chesed Yisro performed was preserved forever. And according to Radak, it's reflected in the ongoing cycle of Chesed. Yisro does the Chesed for Moshe Rabbeinu. Klal Yisrael does the Chesed for the Keni. Lets them stay in Eretz Canaan. And then we can add that Ya'el Eshes Chever HaKeni performs the Chesed for Klal Yisrael in killing Sisra during that battle between Sisra Malch Yavin and Bnei Yisrael in times of Devar and Barak. And then yet again, as Radak points out, Shaul warns the Keni to leave the Amaleki before the battle begins. They should not be hurt. They should not be harmed. A fascinating, fascinating cycle of chesed, if you will, between the Keni and between the Bnei Yisrael. Because ha-chesed hu shamor la'olam, a maisa chesed isn't just done and then it disappears. It is preserved forever. Preserved forever. You never know how one kind interaction, one pleasant interaction, just making a positive impression, might somehow reverberate years later, generations later, how that maisa chesed might be repaid ultimately down the line. Down the line. An amazing, amazing story told by Rav Chaim Michel Stern of Yerushalayim. He is the Rav of Ezra's Torah, neighborhood in Yerushalayim. He is the nephew of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He is the son of the Kamenetz HaMashkiach. He is, I believe, a great-grandson of Yosef Herman, all for the boss. Rav Chaim Michel Stern, still alive today. Shiyichye la'aruch yam tovim. Tremendous Talmud Chacham. He has authored, I believe, over 80 Sfarim. Remarkably prolific. Remarkably prolific. A few years ago, there was a write-up in the Mishpacha magazine, for all those of you who are interested in pursuing higher literary pursuits. So Mishpacha magazine certainly might not meet those standards, but every so often, nonetheless, there is something kedai to read. And there certainly was one such story, among many others, a number of years back when they interviewed Rav Chaim Michel Stern. And in the course of his interview, she bedafka wanted them to publicize the following story. An amazing, amazing story. You know, if it was told about someone who lived, you know, five generations ago, I think Avi and I would dismiss it as a Chassidish Maisa told by the Bubbas. But because this is told by a Rav who is alive today in Yerushalayim, who was giving this interview, it is certainly a maisa worth listening to. Chaim Luchas Stern said that when he was a young man learning in Kollel, so every so often on Fridays he would go visit the local old age home, perform a chesed, visit some of the older residents of the home, wish to make a Shabbos. And over the course of one such visit, he discovers that one of the older men that he would visit was suffering tremendous, tremendous pain. Abdominal pains. So he calls over the supervisor of the home, and he tells them, you know, this fellow needs a doctor. He's feeling terribly, terribly ill. And the supervisor says, it's not my fault, it's the family's responsibility. His son has to take his father to the doctor. So Michael Stern calls the son. He says, your father is suffering terribly. He's got to go to the doctor. Son says, not my fault. I'm paying big bucks for this home. It's their responsibility. So you can't believe it. Here you have this old man suffering, and the son is complaining it's the home's responsibility. The home's complaining it's the son's responsibility. And no one bothers to do anything about it. So Michael Stern takes this old man on his own dime to the local doctor, pays for his visit, pays for his treatment. Kachava. This story repeats itself another time. And again, the same back and forth with the same results. A third time. Again, same back and forth, same results. By the fourth time this happened, finally the son was so embarrassed that this young Kola guy is spending, as it was, a significant percentage of his monthly salary on this man's medical bills, that finally the son relented and took care and responsibility of his father's health and health care. Why was Rav Michael Stern saying this mice over? Because decades later, when Rav Michael Stern is now a man in his, I don't even know, upper 60s, 70s, he himself needed to undergo a very serious colon surgery, and the doctors warned him that he might end up with a colostomy, with a bag attached to a opening in his stomach to enable him to cleanse his body, since he would be unable, the concern was, to function and perform his bodily functions normally after the surgery. And Chaim Luchas Stern was terribly, terribly distraught over the possibility of suffering that potential consequence of the surgery. And he said that he dreamt the Friday night before the surgery that this older man, in his dream, this old man is long dead, said to him, I went to Beit Din Shalmala, and I said, it is not imaginable that this individual who did such a chesed for me, when I was suffering abdominal pains, should now suffer the same part of his body after the chesed he did for me. And I'm here to tell you, this older man says to Michael Stern in his dream, that they accepted my argument and you're going to be okay. And if Stern told his family that Shabbos morning, Baruch Hashem, I'm relaxed, I'm confident, and it turned out his surgery was a success, did not need to have the colostomy as he feared. So he told this in an interview to the Mishpacha magazine that published it, because he said he wanted to mafarsim him this maisa. He didn't quote the Radak, but it certainly seems to be appropriate in the context. HaChesed hahu shamar la'olam, a one chesed you perform, or in this case, numerous acts of chesed, are preserved forever and forever and forever. You never know when those chasadim will be repaid and how you will benefit from them sometime later, perhaps decades later, down the line. Remarkable, remarkable Musar. The chesed of Yisro, as Radak says, was shamar la'olam. You never know what kind of impact it is going to make, how that maisa chesed reverberates in the world and comes back to repay dividends years or sometimes generations later.